Hello, my name's Rob Seltzer. Welcome to Exiled Eagles, the official, unofficial podcast of the current FA Cup and Community Shield holders, the semi-finalists of the European Conference League, Crystal Bloody Palace. How for everyone that lives overseas. Joining me today, we have Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Wonderful start.
Good start.
Well done, Dale. Dale was good. So we're going to move on from Dale. Ned Rock, how are you, Ned?
I'm good. I'm just glad that we've waited however many months to get back into this, and we just start with an absolute flyer. Thank you, Dale. I'm wonderful.
I'm back. It's been a minute.
Thanks, mate.
We'll talk about this the length of time it's taken us to pod in just a second. And we've had to make a last-minute substitution, but we have got Tony Adidas King in for Marky Werner. Tone, great to see you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. Glad to be back on the pod. It's been a little while. Good to see all your beautiful faces.
Yeah, I think last time you were on the pod was the last time we podded, which was four or five years ago. So you haven't missed anything. Look. A little glimpse behind the curtain for all 16 or 17 people that will be listening to this. We've tried to do this for about a month and we have failed miserably. So here we are. And but what we're going to talk about first is the most exciting part of the Crystal Palace season. And that's not Joel Ward's retirement. It is our European adventure. Because one of the reasons Tony is joining us today is he had a European sojourn. So Tony, I'd love to hand over to you to tell everyone, what was Florence like? And tell us about watching Crystal Palace in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, the entire trip was fantastic. You know, anyone of a certain age probably has like a sort of soft spot in their heart for Italian football, especially Fiorentina. Yeah, that includes me. So I always thought if we drew an Italian club, I'd probably try and head over there and to get Fiorentina. That's a dream, you know, from back in the day. They were amazing. But the sort of downside of that was the only ticket I could get was in the home end. And there is it's a special type of punishment to have to sit and clap a penalty being scored against you to avoid getting a punch in the face. But we managed to get away with it. But overall, the trip was great. All I really wanted was to, you know, sit in a piazza in the sunshine, drinking a foreign beer and singing Palace songs. And yeah, I ticked that off. So yeah, it's a fantastic trip, fantastic place. The result wasn't what we wanted, but you know, we got through. And we're on our way.
We are indeed. I mean, what was the vibe like in Florence? Like, you know, you see all the videos and that type of stuff, but what was it actually like being there?
Yeah, it's magic because Florence is pretty good because it's pretty small. It's a pretty small city, and there's like two or three sort of main squares, and then there's lots of little laneways. So everyone congregates very easily, like. Everyone's pretty much in the same space. It's not like we're all sort of spread out everywhere. So from about 2 days before, the Palace shirts started appearing, the flags started appearing, sort of coming over balconies and stuff like that. And then the day itself was, yeah, really joyous. It's like 26 degrees, absolutely perfect beer drinking weather. Everyone's just super happy to be there. Really, exciting vibe. I just had a great time. I couldn't recommend it enough.
I mean, so last year we had to listen to Dale because he got over to the FA Cup final, and to be honest with you, I didn't think I could be more jealous. Congratulations, Tony! You've stumped that because my God, I would have loved to be there. And as you said, that the result wasn't what we wanted, but look, we're through at the end of the day. I think as soon as Sarr scored, I relaxed a little bit because I just didn't see them scoring. Didn't see them scoring
exactly before. That. And it sort of the atmosphere in the ground was great, but sort of once we scored, it just killed it off completely. And you know, it's not like they lost interest, but yeah, it wasn't very. So it got ferocious again when they scored the second, but only for about 10 minutes. So yeah, it felt comfortable. So there was no sort of like real stress factor either, which made it nice and easy. And yeah, the whole reason I went was exactly the same as you, Rob. I was just seething with jealousy from Dale's. exploits in the FA Cup. I was like, I'm not having that.
Can I just say, I was really jealous, Tone, because I was meant to be in the UK for the first leg and was meant to go to the first leg, and obviously that didn't happen with all the nonsense going on in the Middle East. And then was even more gutted when Kieran, my mate, who's also back in the UK, haven't seen him for a couple of years, we're going to catch up, and he sent me a picture of me of where I'd be sat, like right next to him in the Holmesdale. So I was even more jealous. I was jealous of the first leg, and even more jealous of you getting to go to Florence. I mean, what an effort! What an amazing, I suppose, like. Yeah, shit, you got to see us lose. Probably the happiest you've ever been seeing us lose. But yeah, if someone had said to you, I don't know, how old are you? 52? 52 odd years ago, you'll get to see Palace
Close.
in Florence. Palace in Florence, you'd have just gone, yeah, what is it? Pre-season tour or something. So yeah, how amazing.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly what sort of motivated me to do it. Because there's every chance we may never see Palace in Europe again, you know. So you've got to make the most of it. You only live once. So yeah, and it's good to see James Howland was over there, and then Ross from
No, he
ex-Melbourne was
wasn't.
there.
James
So it's good to
Howland
see
was not
some.
there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. I mean, yeah. Good point. I heard something about
Was a
that.
Mr. Howland maybe somewhere
Yeah. Yeah,
unknown
exactly.
of. There
Maybe
was a
it's his
lookalike.
brother.
He had a
Yeah,
doppelganger that
that's
was
it.
there, I heard.
Yeah,
Cunning
that's right.
doppelganger. That's why he took photos, right? Because it looked like him.
Look like him. Yeah, it's very funny.
I suppose, I mean, like obviously living over here is difficult, but even if you're in the UK, wouldn't that be one of the games you like, even if you didn't have a ticket, you'd just go to Florence to be there amongst it, just be amongst the atmosphere. Because as you said, Tone, we may never get to Europe again. And during Fiorentina, being in Florence, that type of city, it's this isn't the backwaters of Bosnia where Ned went on his honeymoon. This is, Florence, Italy, and one of those amazing footballing nations and clubs and stuff. So yeah, mate, incredible. Let's talk. Let's kind of move on and talk about kind of the European campaign, as it were. Look, we're not going to go through all the games. We've missed all of them because we never pod. So there's clearly a way that teams can set up against us that we struggle with, and that's the low block. That's whether that's in the league or Europe. But Shakhtar are next. I won't lie. I know sweet FA about Shakhtar Donetsk. But how do people feel about the semi-final? And let's just go bigger. We've got Shawnee Robb, who once again has won a prize in every single draw he goes into. So he's entered the lottery to get a ticket for the finals. Obviously, he's got one. I assume he's won one of the tickets to go to hand out the medals to the winners as well, because if he wants to enter that prize too. So well done, Shawnee, you arsehole. But how do we feel? Let's go back. Let's start with Shakhtar. If you think we're gonna get through, do you think we win it? And I'm going to risk coming to Dale now, and potentially he may be able to speak. So we're about to find out. So Dale, how do you feel about?
Yeah, look, Shakhtar, obviously, a team who over the past probably 2, 3, 4 years have had it tough. I don't know. I mean, they've got, like, I think I said something, they've got eight Brazilians in their starting 11. So who knows what you're going to get. The days of Shakhtar being a European force of God. You remember, like, when Hulk was playing for them, and they'd always been in the Champions League, and they'd always spring up a couple of shocks, and they'd get through the group stages. And, oh, wow, look at this team. But ultimately, I think we're going to be playing this game in Poland. Is that right? Mate, they're not going to sit back, right? That's going to suit us to a T. We're going to have a chance of beating them. And then if we get to a final, we know as well as anyone. It's 90 minutes, 120 minutes, anyone's game. So why can we not win it? I mean, I don't want to say it'd be a fitting way for Glasner to go out. but it's, yeah, it would cap off a very amazing 2.5 years.
Yeah, well, you can't say it's a fitting way to Glasner to go out, because I can see behind you there you've got the Wilf and the Glasner dartboards now, which is a bit rude with the darts all through it. So you can't say that, Dale, unfortunately. Now,
Just a reminder, just sorry, just a reminder, I have turned down going to a conference where I was meant to be going to Charlotte FC as
yeah,
part of the
well, we know why,
conference. But
because you don't want to see
exactly
them,
right. Exactly
exactly,
right.
like,
Yeah.
because that's why he's blocked you on Instagram, because you keep sending him DMs of you throwing the darts at his face. He's like, stop it.
Yes.
All right. Ned, how we'll come to you in a sec, Tony, but Ned, how do you feel about it, the next round and Europe as a in general?
Oh, look, I mean, it's one of those ones where we've sort of touched on it at the very start of the season. Fiorentina was probably the dream draw just to have the experience there. But I think, there was no teams in the league in the whole competition that you should be sitting there going, this is absolutely terrifying, or this is, the absolute European crazy dream to go and play against them. Obviously they're going to be a decent side. They've always been a decent side in Europe. Any Ukrainian side is going to sort of be a little bit hard done by over the last few years. It's probably not the most appealing type of club to go to for a prospective player at the moment, even if you did give him a bit of coin. Poland seems like it's our second our home away from home in Europe at the moment. Seem to spend a lot of time playing games over there. I know it's only been like two, but it feels like we keep going back to those sorts of places. Yeah, I mean, it's I think James Allen touched on it at the start of the season when it was when we had our European dream and it was the Europa League and everyone was all excited to go and play those sorts of games, and I don't think anyone was necessarily dreaming of Shakhtar Donetsk in Poland as an away trip. But so, it's a European semi-final. I feel like as a Palace fan, the comments that I've just made there feel a little bit sort of uppity, and perhaps we've sort of gotten ahead of ourselves because I'm sitting there going, oh, it's not a fancy enough European semi-final for me. It's good to be there. We're playing one of not that many clubs in the competition that have got some significant European experience. So, it'll be a tough game, but as you said, I think they'll probably attack a little bit more. And the teams that attack us a little bit more, we seem to have dispatched quite comfortably in this competition. And the teams that have sat, we have struggled against. So once we get to the pointy end, you would imagine most teams we play will attack us a little bit more, because they'll fancy their chances as a bit more of an even game. And so hopefully that works in our favour.
How are you, Tone? As someone that's been there, seen it now, how are you feeling about it?
I'm to bring it sort of back the other way. I'm a bit concerned because there, when I was in Florence, everybody was talking about Leipzig. It's like, are you coming back for the final? I've got accommodation for Leipzig. How are we going to get there? Yada, 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 which is a level of hubris I am not comfortable with as a Crystal Palace fan, which means we're definitely going to fuck it up for sure. I hope we don't. But I also remember reading something right when we first got into the Europa that someone was saying Shakhtar are the ones you don't want to sleep on, that they are actually a pretty good side, and they scored some banging goals recently as well. So I don't think it's going to be easy. I'm not 100%
They're a
convinced we're
good
going to.
side. They're a good side.
I'm happy we're in a European semi-final. I'm concerned that we'll blow it, but we'll see how we go. What time's it on over here? Is it another silly o'clocker? No,
5 a.m.
Thursdays.
I think
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
5 a.m. Friday
But the
morning.
day changes. No, it won't be a Friday morning because it's Wednesday.
That's
It's
the
Wednesday.
final. Oh, the final. That's
Oh,
for
the
those
final.
which one?
Sorry. Yeah. So
Yeah,
I'm
the
doing it, Tony.
final.
I'm doing it. Oh my God, I'm doing it. Yeah.
Mate. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm insanely nervous. Like, I feel like this whole European adventure has been great fun. And you look at some of the teams, you look at the group stages, like cups, who the fuck are cups, Larnaca and stuff. You think, look, we'll just get through them and then, whatever. But now we get to that pointy end. You're like, oh God, we could actually win this damn thing.
Well,
We
but you told
look.
me, when we got into Europe, you weren't dreaming of three games against AEK Larnaka, because that was what I always hoped for. I always hoped
Oh,
three
look,
games against
I wouldn't say I
Cypriot
was dreaming
number
of it.
four.
I was hoping for it. I wasn't dreaming of it though, and it happened, which is wonderful for me. So I've had my European experience,
Hey,
no
but
matter
if
what.
someone had told you we were in Europe and we had three games against AEK Larnaka, you'd have gone, sweet, that's three wins. Nice and simple. We're through to the whatever. What I will say is, I'm not nervous about the semi-final. I'm like, I kind of think whatever now, because whatever, what can you do? But what is interesting, I think I'll be pissed off if we lose, because you think to yourself, damn, we're in the semi-final of the Conference League in Europe. Had we lost to Fiorentina and got knocked out, you'd have gone, oh, well, they may not have had Batistuta and Manuel Rui Costa, but we lost to Fiorentina. It's okay. To now get knocked out in the semis, you'd just be a bit like, oh, have we missed an opportunity? Probably yes. So, yeah,
Yeah,
that's how I feel about
we've completely stuck that up if we don't get through.
it. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the team though, I mean, 'cause this, you're talking, and rightly so, that Shakhtar have all this European experience, or as a club, obviously not, maybe not as their players in total now, because who knows when these Brazilians came in or whatever. But you think of Alcalá, like Camada's won the Europa League with Eintracht Frankfurt. Lacroix played in Europe. Sars played in Europe. I'm assuming, I think Strand Larsen's played. So we've got players that have played at this level before that know how to win it. We've got a manager that knows how to win it. So, and in JD Canva, if he goes on a run, we know we're scoring. That's how our goals now start. They start with JD Canva running out from the back. So we just have to make sure he does that a couple of times and there's a couple of goals. Whereas, previously, when we got to the FA Cup final, that was, we had no one had ever been there before. It was like, with Man City had all been there before. And so it was like, I don't think we're going to win this. But now you think we've got the players, we've got the experience. Oh, that, I think that's why I'm so nervous about it, because we can do it. It's one of those, like, having supported an underdog like Palace for years, you're like, you expect to lose and anything else is a bonus. Whatever, that's cool. But now you're like, oh my God, we could win this. And it's that's the bit that's making me nervous, I think. But yeah, so that's how we, so we've got, that's next week, isn't it? The game next Friday, 5 a.m. our time. So obviously I'm going to sleep through that and wake up and watch the mini at about 7:30 or so. Speaking of minis, you know what I wish I'd watched? The mini of the West Ham game, because that was a
Oh,
crime against
tell me
football.
about it.
Oh my, I
God.
mean, even as a Palace fan, I was bored shitless. That game could still be going on and that would be nil-nil. No one was scoring there.
It was a shame, because I'd watched the Man City Arsenal game the morning before, and that was an absolute belter. So I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to this Palace West Ham. Talk about different ends of the spectrum. Can't believe it's the same
Ah,
league.
yeah. But so let's talk about the Premier League, because you could be, as a Palace fan or a player or something, like, right, let's just be on the beach for the league and let's put all our eggs in the Conference League basket. But incredibly, if we win a couple of games, we're right in the goddamn mix for Europe again, which is
Mate,
ridiculous, by the way.
we win our two games in hand. We are seventh, and that
Which
is
is
a European
ridiculous.
spot.
Exactly.
Our
Which
game
is
day
stupid.
ahead
So,
of the cities. So, I mean, let's just calm our farms slightly.
hold on a second. They're the games we win.
I did say in the chat, a game in hand is not a game won.
But how, like, what's going on? What is going on? Let's just do, like, what's going on with the Premier League? How can we not win for like 450 games this season and be within 2 wins of seventh? So, tell us, company, like, what do you see? Would you, if you're Glasner or Palace, would you want us to see, like, rest your Sars and your Whartons and your Lacroix and everyone for the league now and just be like, eggs all in European basket? Or do you want to see us go balls to the wall at both? Tony King.
Me?
Tony King.
Tony King.
Sorry, I thought you said Dale. Yeah, I would be inclined to go balls to the wall until we lose a couple. Say we lose against Liverpool and we start falling away, then I might start thinking about resting. I think maybe resting Sarr and Mateta and Wharton, that's it. Every other match, perhaps. If we win against Liverpool and it's on, then yeah, happy days. Let's give it a crack. And talking about the league, the mad thing was, we played Brighton. They were talking about their manager getting sacked in the morning when we played them. I mean, look at them now. I mean, it's nuts, that league. All
It's,
to play
yeah,
for.
like, someone said it's quite hard to get relegated from, and it is proven to be quite hard to get relegated. Like, by all intents and purposes, we should be where kind of West Ham and Spurs are after that run we went in December and January. Like, we didn't win a game, yet here we are. And, like, as to tone to your point, Brighton were like, got to get rid of him, he's going to get us, take us down. They won my Champions League. Like, it's bananas. Like, so Ned, how do you feel about it? What would you do? Or what would you want us to do?
Well, I think, the Newcastle game and even the West Ham game to an extent, I think as dull as it sounds, I think our sort of not quite second string team, but that sort of one and a half, first and a half team is very capable at being boringly nil-nil for an hour. And I think you can sort of almost hedge your bets. You can have that team go and play an hour, keep us in the game, have us at nil-nil, whatever it is. Then, like we did in that Newcastle game, inject some of those players in. So they're still playing the half hour, but they're not burning themselves out for a European game. I think that, it's going to be about rotation and squad management, I think is important. I think if we do that properly, then I don't see any reason why we can't compete on both fronts. I think we'd be silly to play to do, Glasner's favourite trick of pick the same 11 players and just play them until they die at this point of the season, because that may occur before a European final, and you don't want to be going into that. We looked at that game, obviously that game in Fiorentina, the second leg, and he was obviously playing 4D chess. He's found a way to get those players that were on yellow cards to avoid getting themselves a second yellow card, and that was to get themselves all injured in the first half, which you're sitting there going, oh, there's parts of that game where you're sitting there going, this could be the worst win in Palace history, because we've we win the game and we lose our three or four best players for however long. Fortunately, none of those injuries seem to be serious, so we've gotten away with it. But I think, that should be a warning sign to go, hang on a minute, we do need to be careful with this. And we do have to be trusting of a few of those guys that have performed for us before, in your players like your Lermas, like your Hughes, and those types of players who can do a job. They're not going to win the game for you, but they can do a job, and they can do a job for an hour. And we need to get them doing a job for an hour, not like we have been for a lot of the season, have them doing a job for 8 minutes, at the end of a game. Give them substantial game time to allow other players to rest. You obviously also want to get those players to be playing as well. If I'm Ismaili Assar, I want to be playing 90 minutes every week at this point in every game, because I know that every time the ball goes near me, I feel like I'm going to stick it in the back of the net. And you want to keep that confidence going with those players. But at the same time, you obviously have to manage their bodies as well. So I think, at the moment, while the run of fixtures is not crazy, we had a little bit of a breather for some of the players that didn't disappear off around the world. They had a little bit of a breather that we should have a few of them feeling a bit fitter at the moment. It's not like we're playing three times a week every week. So I think we just need to be careful, pick squads for games, depending on who we're playing. I think just, accept that we're not going to go and batter teams 15-0, which we don't do anyway. But I think we've got a squad that can compete in both fronts.
Rundell, what are your thoughts?
You play to win. Like, winning's infectious, losing's infectious. Got to play to win. Ultimately, there's no point trying to go into a European final if we get there having lost six games on the spin in the league, right? So you're playing to win. You're playing your strongest team possible, and yeah, you're looking to take momentum forward. That's how I view it. Does that mean you play the strongest team 90 minutes every game? No, it means that you are looking at where you can make the change here and there. I will say, it is times like this where, when I was watching the West Ham game, that I was thinking, wow, I would love a. I'm going to say a ex player's name. He was mentioned several couple of times today on WhatsApp, but I would love a Jordan Ayew, for example, right? The sort of person who, in those games against West Ham, Ballon d'Or winning goal aside, he's just going to run his nuts off and give his all. And in these games where you are taking out an Ismaïla Sarr, bringing in someone like that is great. And to your point, Ned, you've got a Jordan Ayew versus a £35 million Brennan Johnson. Which one's giving you more at the moment, arguably, right? So my point is, play to win. You make the changes where needed, but you're playing to win every game. You're never throwing games away, because that can lead you to a bad place.
I agree completely. I think, yeah, with that you play to win because, as you said, it's that infectious. I mean, all you've got to do is look at us when we went on that slump. Look at Spurs now. They can't buy a win, no matter what they do. I've got a Spurs mate who is said that he's never seen anything like this, and he thinks they're down. And I tend to agree with him. But that, yeah, it's a sports, a massive momentum thing. So if you go in with momentum, then I think, yeah, that's where we've got to go. And I know we're going to move on to something very exciting in just a second. I'm going to hand over to Dale, which bear with us very. Don't turn off your podcast just yet because it's the biggie. I would like to touch really briefly on Brennan Johnson because I wasn't convinced when we first bought him. I'm even less convinced now. So I just want a quick thought on him because I want to just caveat this because everyone has a go at Pino, Jeroen Pino. I'm not sure if anyone else has seen the stat that's gone round on, I think it was on Twitter, obviously, which means it's guaranteed to be true, as we all know. But Pino, if we'd taken all the chances he'd created, would have had more assists than Eze's ever had at Palace in one season. So it's like, oh, I've got to find it. But yeah, so he's basically, Pino has been let down by having played with John Philippe Mateta when he was a donkey at the start of the season, basically. And so you wouldn't be having these conversations that Pino's a flop and all that bollocks now if we'd put away some of the chances. I've never seen a £35 million footballer airhead the ball quite like Brennan Johnson did in the first half. If anyone remembers it was like a lot of hoof up front, up, and he just jumps to head the ball, and the ball lands at least 5 meters behind him. He wasn't even in the same like postcode to head the damn thing. All right, let's jump with you. Like, what's going on there? Is it a confidence thing? Is he just not the right fit? Like, £35 million is not amount of money that we can be throwing around at a player that really, really isn't working.
Is that me, something?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've sort of, been quite vocal in a WhatsApp chat or two over the last couple, and I think it's the financial side of things. And I think ever since, our January transfer window, we sort of went, we have to get bodies in, and we've spent £85 million on two players that, I mean, Brennan Johnson, serviceable. Sure, I would have him as a squad player. Even Strand Larsen, I think he's decent. For £85 million for those two players, I look today. I was looking today. Leicester City have just gone straight from the Premier League down to League One with a whole bunch of financial issues. They're the signings where if it goes wrong for us, they're the ones that bankrupt us. It's not the risky sort of 15 million, what, 15, 20 million ones where we sign some 19-year-old with massive resale value, who doesn't quite work out, and you're able to get, a bit of that money back when you go down. It is these massive, massive money signings that a squad play that they're squad players. And Brennan Johnson couldn't get a game at, as you've just spoken about, the worst Tottenham team that's ever existed. Strand Larsen's not getting in the team at one of the worst Premier League teams that's ever played. And you're sitting there going, why are we, like, I have no issues with going and raiding those teams and taking some of their players and boosting our numbers. But to break our club transfer record twice in a week for fringe players at teams below us, I just, like, it, I don't get it. And it puts the pressure on those guys as well. So they're already coming from a low confidence place. I mean, Brennan Johnson, when you've seen him at his best, you can see he can play football. Strand Larsen, when you see him at his best, you can see they play football. But you take players who are super low on confidence because they can't get into a losing team. You then add the pressure of being a club record signing of this stupid money, and what, we're suddenly shocked that they're not performing at the highest level that could possibly be there. I mean, we've set these guys up to fail. And shock horror, they're not succeeding super well. And you go, well, I could have told you that was going to happen. And I think most people could have told you that was going to happen. And so you sort of sit there and you go, you look at our successful signings, you look at our convos, you look at our Whartons, our Ezes, our Elises, the Gahees, all those kind of guys. They've come from a lower place, but they've come from success in that lower space. They've come from playing, being given the confidence, and then they get to see, hey, this is being recognized above. And so they come in full of beans, they're ready to go. We've signed two players who like their main thing that they were pleased about was, thank fuck I'm not at the club that I was at previously. It's not, geez, let's go, this is a great opportunity. It's I've escaped. It's relief. And I just, and I think we can't be spending that sort of money on those kind of players anymore. And it's and you look at all of our top signings, anything that we've paid more than 30 million pounds for hasn't worked out because we paid it to players who are fringe players at their club and they come in and they're just thankful to be out. They're not thankful to be at Palace, they're thankful to be out of the place that they came from. And that's not a recipe for a player to hit the ground running. It's just not. And we need to start being smarter with those signings, and look at that profile of player, not just get desperate ones. So I feel a bit for Brendan Johnson, but yeah, geez, he's not been good.
Mate, I've got
No.
to say, I've got no issue with our club, who have been in the Premier League for 14 years, going is someone with 44 international caps, who was a top scorer for their team in the Premier League the previous season, and scored a goal in a European final, and spending 35 million. It, bigger issue, Johnson on that. I feel for him. I think he's good. I actually think he's a very good player. I've got mates who are Spurs fans. I've got mates who are Forest fans. They will tell you he's a very good player. If we're getting concerned because we're spending 35 million on someone after this amount of time in the Premier League, we have got bigger issues. And I feel that I said it in the WhatsApp chat. We essentially looked at it and went, right, where can we get players from who could come into the Premier League who are Premier League ready? And the reason I say they're Premier League ready is because Brennan Johnson has played prior to Palace over 120 Premier League games. Earned himself a £38 million move to Tottenham. He's obviously a player there. He's done very well at Tottenham until this season. I don't have an issue with us buying somebody who's fallen out of favour and can't get into the team at the previous club because they should hopefully come with an axe to grind and prove themselves to be the player that they've been, but we all thought they are. The fact it hasn't worked out for him is very unfortunate. And is it down to tactics? Is it down to confidence? We don't know. We may never know. But let's just all cross our fingers and hope he does recover some of that form from last season and his time at Forest because he's a very good player and one that we would definitely like to have on our books playing the way he can.
Anything from you, Tone?
Yeah, I mean, just what you were saying before, it's not. I'm slightly concerned if this is our new transfer policy, is spunking a load of money on sort of Premier League has-beens. But what I feel about Brendan Johnson, I feel so sorry for him because he's got such an expressive face. Every time there's a close-up of him, the poor guy looks mortified. He's not my cat. He's just got like these like big eyes that you could just read so much into. So it was like, oh, he's so low on confidence. It's like, yeah, because he looks like he's about to burst into tears every time there's a camera shot of him. But yeah, I feel for him. I think he'll come good. I think you know, there's a player there, as they say. Yeah, it's just the concerning amount of money we spent on him.
Yeah, I agree. Look, with the Strand Larsen thing, and I get what you said, Ned. Like, I want to give him a caveat with him, is that a lot of the games he's played a lot of the games where there's been the low block that we can't break down. Whether we've got Strand Larsen, whether we've got Mateta, whether we've got Nketiah, he's had that. And a lot of the time, and a few of the games, Munoz was injured too, which is a massive. You take Munoz out of our team, and we are a very, very different team. No matter who we got up front, he's clearly a player. He's not a Mateta type that bullies defenders. That's not what he does. Mateta can go and look what happened on Tuesday morning or against West Ham. Mavropanos won everything against Strand Larsen, and then Mateta comes on and just like goes shoulder to shoulder with D'Assi, who is massive, by the way. He is huge, and Mavropanos, and just that's how he plays. He's just a lot more physical. But yes, I'll give Strand Larsen like a, I'll give him a break for the moment. But yeah, the
Larsen can
concerning,
finish. He can finish. He can
Oh,
finish.
absolutely. I mean, look at the goals
He
against Burnley,
needs
right?
headers.
He scored
He
those.
needs
Mateta
headers.
doesn't
If
score over those
he doesn't
goals.
get it, he gets nothing.
Yeah,
So is it
Mateta
just
doesn't score
time
over
in the
those.
gym that Strand Larsen needs, do you reckon? So
Oh
he just
yeah,
needs
well,
to
look, I mean,
bulk up so he can hold
maybe,
defenders up.
mean, and obviously I'm now a boxer, as we all know, so he can just come to my gym and I'll sort him out for you, no problem. I'm in a camp for Tyson Fury in a few years' time anyway. I found the Pino stats. So listen to this, right? So in just 1,800 minutes and 28 matches played, Jeremy Pino has already created more big chances, has more big chances created and more expected assists than Eberechi Eze ever records in a single season at Palace. So he's doing the business. He's just unfortunate that we've had. If he was here last year when Mateta was everything he touched turned to gold, he'd be flying. So I've got no concerns about Pino whatsoever. Okay, that was a
He's
slight
he, sorry,
detour.
sorry to interrupt, but he's not changing a game like Eze does, though, right? There's like an X
No,
factor that
that
you can't
yes,
get with stats.
yeah, it's like because you can get the ball. Like, look at the Fulham goal went away where, in the FA Cup last year. The ball just went Eze. He cut in a couple of times and hit that shot off the post. Pino's not going to give you that. Absolutely not. So he hasn't got that takeover game ability, I don't think. He has to rely a lot more on teammates. But I think a lot of people look at just the stats, and it's not all down to him. It's down to what's happened around him as well, I feel.
Yeah, fair.
All right, Dale. Time for some excitement, everyone. Something new before we do.
All right.
We're not going to do Aussie shit because one of the Aussies isn't here, but we will do the Carl Viet game, which is going to be fun for everyone to play later on. So before we play that game, over to you, mate.
All right, we're going to do a draft. We're going to draft our so 14 years in the Premier League. A lot of players passed through the books. We're going to do a draft amongst us. We're going to pick each our ultimate Crystal Palace 11 and manager. I'm going to jot it all down, and then over the next couple of days, I'm going to run it through various different AI models and see who they reckon's got the best team. So I was going to do six aside and pick a manager. I think I'm going to go back to that because otherwise we're going to be here until the European Cup final, which we will be in. So we're going to so your formation is going to be goalkeeper. Two defenders, two midfielders, one forward. So you can have any midfielder you want. So you can play him as a, for example, I'm not saying it has to be a centre mid, three centre mids. It can be anyone who we can deem to be a midfielder. If there's any contention over that, we will discuss it as a group and we will probably say you're wrong and you get to pick your manager. All right. And we'll see who comes out with the best side. Okay.
Are we
Make
talking
sense?
Futsal size goals or
It
are we
will
talking
be
Futsal size goals?
it's football. It's just football. And it'll be a snake draft. So for those who don't know how a snake draft works, you basically, if the order is me, Celts, TK, Ned, it goes me, Rob, TK, Ned, TK, Rob, me. See, the person at each end gets two goes. All right. So we did do a simulation, or no, not simulation. I put it into an AI app thing earlier, and the draft order was me, Mark. Well, Mark's not here, so it's TK. Then Celts, then Ned Rock. Okay. So, with the first pick of the draft, I am going to pick a manager and I am going to pick, believe it or not, a
Incredible. I mean, this is already a raw.
two
He hates
minutes,
it.
20 seconds.
Okay, so I'm not equipped for this at all as a late sort of a late walk-in. What so can we so is it have I got to pick a manager now or can I just pick
No,
anyone I want to
you can
pick?
pick anyone you want in any position. Get one
Okay, so
pick.
can I get
So you
Wilfried
can pick
Zaha up
Fiume.
front?
You can get Wilfried Zaha up front for sure. Yep.
Wallop.
Celts.
I'm gonna have Michael Olise in midfield.
A good pick.
Yeah, I'll let you have it,
All right.
Ned.
Just clarifying, is it anyone that's played in the Premier League for Palace, or is it
Premier
just since we
League.
came up?
Premier League.
Just since we came up, or does that include previous?
Since we've come up, so the 14 years since we've come up.
Right, cool. Well, I will particularly six aside. I'll take Eze,
Yeah, and
and
you get a
yeah,
next pick as well.
so I'll take Eze for the midfield, and to sort of shore up my defense a bit, I'll put Mark Gahey just in behind.
Mark Gahey. Lovely. Selts.
I'm going to take his partner at the moment, Maxence Lacroix, at the back as well.
Laquan. Yep. Tony.
I'm going to go Hendo in goal.
Hendo in goal. Tony Hendo. Cool. I am going to take in goal. Bloody hell. We're going to have to take Johnston in goal.
You
No, I'm
say
not
Brennan.
Speroni. Speroni in goal.
I was going to say Brennan Johnson in goal would have been a big call.
No. Speroni in goal. And then with my next pick, I am going to take in midfield, Johan Cabaye. Tony.
I'm going to go Wharton in midfield.
Class. Celts.
I'm going to go Guaita in goal.
I forgot about him. Good, he's rubbish.
I will. So what was our formation again? We had to go with 2-3-1, did you say?
Yeah,
Two, two,
two, two,
one.
one.
Two, two,
Yeah.
one. Okay. I will, in that case, be a little bit cheeky and go with a very attack. I'm very comfortable with Mark Gahey just holding the fort at the back. So my other defender is going to be Daniel Munoz.
Yeah, good, fair.
Great shout.
He is a
Six
defender, so why not?
aside, get it. Six aside, we're going to be aggressive.
Yep. Ned, you got another pick?
I do have another pick, which means that I should probably take someone who's got a bit of capability defensively, and as the Aussie here, I'm going to have to take Millet
Melee.
midfield.
Cool. Salts.
I'm torn between two for my other midfielder at the moment, and I'm going to go for a peak Cheick Doucouré in midfield.
Oh, damn you. Yep. Tony.
Going to have Mamadou Sakho at the back.
Yeah,
Oh, you
clown. Absolute
bastard.
clown show.
My hero.
With the next pick, I am going to take Ismaïla Sarr as a forward. Cannot believe he dropped that far down the draft. And my other midfielder, I'm a bit stuck now because I was going to go with Doucouré. Are we allowed loan players?
Play for Palace in the Premier League, I suppose.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
agree.
take him. Go on.
Go on, take him.
Kamada.
Oof.
He was my other choice. I was torn between. I wasn't sure whether to go Daichi or Cheick Doucouré, so.
So is it me?
Yes, you turn.
Yeah, to clarify, mate, you need a midfielder, a defender, and a manager.
Cool. Well, I'll go Conor Gallagher then in midfield.
Yeah. And who are we up to now? Celts.
Oh, who should have been my striker or attacker, as it were? I'm gonna go Jean-Philippe Mateta up front.
All right.
Yeah, okay. You're
My
not scoring anything, are you?
next two, it's good. The first one's going to sound silly, and then when I pair it with the
Michael
second
Olise is
one,
going to just set him up, mate. It'll be fine. My first
Yeah.
one's going to sound silly, and my second one is going to make it make sense. Remembering that we get these players in their prime for Palace, I'm going to take as my forward Christian Benteke, and my manager is going to be Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, superb. Like that.
So I get 17 goal a season, Christian Benteke banging everything in with his head, getting the delivery out wide from Munoz as they're popping a little couple in, get his long floated balls in. It's going to be delightful.
Going to be honest, Daniel Munoz's crossing ability isn't great. That is not it. He's
It doesn't have to be. It's
I will
just going to be.
say, Can I just say, notable ex exception as we are now out of midfield and at forward strike slots. I'm amazed, and I'm guilty of this. Six aside, no one has gone for Yannick
I thought about him, but I was like, I couldn't. I mean, Michael Olyse or Yannick Bolasie, there's not really that big of a choice there, if I'm gonna be honest, but I did like the idea.
Yeah.
Because no one has and someone has to, my other defender is the one, the
Oh.
only, Joel Ward.
Nice. Had to be done. You're
When was his
welcome.
peak?
Yeah.
When was his peak for us, out of interest?
Forever. He's never not, he's always been at the top of his game, that man. So he has been at, he's a 9 out of 10 every week. Other people have ups and downs. Like JP was rubbish when he started, he's great. When got brilliant, now he's rubbish again. But Joel Ward, just steady Eddie.
Cool. Tony, defender or manager?
Defender. I think I might go. God, this is tough. Might go Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
WB,
Ooh, that
lovely.
is lovely.
All right, so my final two picks to round out my side are going to be Patrick Van Aanholt as a defender and JD Canvo, because I just think the kid's good. The kid's not even reached his peak yet, and we're already impressed by him. So,
He is amazing.
so that's my side rounded out. So, well, who are we at? I can't remember who's
That's a
next.
tone.
I think it's me. So I'm just going to get my
Manager.
manager. I know he left a bad taste in my mouth, but he did win Premier League Manager of the Season. So we're going to go Tony Pulis.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's slim pickings now when it comes to manager. You've got Roy Hodgson. You've got Ian Holloway, you've got Neil Warnock, you've got
Choose
Alan
it. Choose one,
Pardew.
James.
Please, Rob Seltzer with Roy Hodgson. Please.
I'm look, to be honest with
Please.
you, to be honest,
No, just choose one.
they all chose Oliver Glasner, so I'm gonna go Roy fucking Hodgson.
Yes. I mean,
Finally.
anyone would think taking a manager like Patrick Vieira, who got us to an FA Cup semi-final and got us pretty high up in the league, would have been a good option. But you go with Hodgson, fine.
He kept us up forever,
Yeah,
Roy
you can't
Hodgson.
knock Roy. Can't knock Roy.
I'm not knocking Roy. I'm just saying there's
I
better
mean,
options.
Roy
I like
also got
that.
the best out of Joel Ward, so which is one of the main reasons that I
I'd
did that.
say that was Holloway got the best out of Joel Ward
Also,
in the
Patrick Vieira
Championship.
left Elise on the bench a fair few times, and no one. Like
And
Roy
Eze.
would bring Elise on when he's only got one leg, and he'd make sure he plays. So.
I would say that, Dale, you've made a big mention of a manager that got Palace to a semi-final and completely ignored one that got us all the way to a final. So,
Pardew.
yeah. But anyway,
Yeah.
I'm delighted that Rob has finally made up and accepted that Roy Hodgson is the greatest Premier League manager Crystal Palace have ever had. So,
That
well
circle
done.
is
Unacceptable.
complete.
That's fantastic. That's exactly what I heard you say. Good stuff.
I've got your pre-season predictions here, Ned. Remember that.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And whatever you say is a lie, because I have them right here, my friend.
I know I've got him here, but I'm also going to lie through my back teeth. So,
Oh yeah, I would expect nothing less.
Ned, final pick and a goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper. Well, I've got a choice of two, I think. Just running through. So you guys had Guaita, Speroni, and Henderson.
Yep.
So I'm basically between Sam Johnstone and Wayne Hennessy.
Got Jack Butland.
Jack Butland.
Butland.
Remy Matthews has also, I believe,
I
appeared
did
in a
consider
Premier League
Remy
game.
Matthews for team morale.
Lucas Perry.
I didn't
Did he
consider
play?
him for obvious reasons. But I am going to, you know what? I'm going Champagne Wayne. The longevity started about 4 seasons in a row, got a lot of grief, started about 4 seasons in a row as our number two and ended as our number one. Champagne Wayne. And we might have to do a couple of history lessons with him just to make sure that he doesn't say any controversial. But otherwise, that's it won't need to, he won't need, won't be needed anyway. He's got the we're going to be so far ahead of the pitch. He'll be fine.
All right, let me just run through these for everyone, all those listeners who are keen to hear. So Tony ended up with a team of Dean Henderson in goal, Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Mamadou Sakho as centre backs, a midfield of Aaron Wharton and Conor Gallagher, and Stroppy Wilf up front. Rob Seltzer, Vicente Guaita in goal, Joel Ward and Maxence Lacroix at the back, Cheick Doucouré and Michael Olise in midfield, Jean-Philippe Mateta up front, and Roy Hodgson as a manager. I mean, you've got some attacking talent there that's never going to see the ball. I've got Julian Speroni, Patrick van Aanholt, Jody Cambo, Johan Cabaye, Daichi Kamada, Ismaila Sarr, and Ole Gunnar as manager. Hope we don't go on a losing run because he'll just leave. And Ned's got Wayne Hennessy, Daniel Munoz, Mark Gahey, Mille Jedinak, Eberechi Eze, Christian Benteke, and Sam Allardyce as his manager. So I will put that into some sort of AI model, see what comes out, and if I
Yeah,
can.
we should put it up. Let's put it up for a vote on our socials as well, which
Well, we'll do
you
that,
guys
but
vote for. We'll win
I tell you
two.
what.
Whoever wins will win 1-0.
I tell you what I'll also do if I have the time and inclination, and if my PS4 works, I'll create all these teams on FIFA and see if we can get them to play against each other in like a round robin tournament and see which one wins.
You have a child, Dale. You have
Next
no time to do
podcast
this.
even. Yeah, you have about 6 months before our next pod. True.
He also has a tablet which he can just watch for 3 hours whilst I make all this
Oh,
happen.
that's the best parent on the planet, the old screen. Here you go, son. Get that into you.
So we'll see. Anyway, there you go. Bit of fun. What was that
Yeah.
different? So there you
That
go.
was fun, actually. That was fun.
Yeah. Like,
It makes
to
you
a few
think there's
points.
been some players
Yeah.
who you don't think of.
Like, to your point, Dale, like about the attacking talent that won't get the ball, because only six players on the team, they are eventually going to just have to get the ball, is my theory with behind the Roy Hodgson thing. So he can't stop it. As much as he'd love to stop it, he simply can't. So that's
So
my
they put,
theory behind it.
so you picked him as manager out of spite. You've gone, you know
Hmm.
what, I'm giving you all these attacking players. You're going to watch attacking football whether you bloody like it or
150%.
not.
Literally, that is literally the reason. All right, guys. Last order of business is a quick game. So let's go by. Think of the alphabet. How many players do you think of that have played for Crystal Palace whose surnames begin with V?
Well, I mean, there's the obvious. There's
Good. What
Carl.
is the obvious? Well done, Ned wins. That was the exact name I'm thinking of, Carl Vitt. So,
Didn't you call it the
well,
Carl Vitt game earlier?
absolutely, I did. And he's
Okay.
always the answer, Tony. There's the clue was in the part there. So he's always the answer. All right, guys, that was great. That was really good fun. So, Tony, thank you for making us insanely jealous even more about the trip to Florence. Sounds incredible.
Amazing.
Been a pleasure to have
Van
you
Aanholt.
on. But he
Oh,
wasn't the
yeah.
right answer. He wasn't the right. There's loads. There's like I did a whole Sporkle thing on it yesterday. There's like eight different players and didn't care about any of them apart from Carl Vitt.
Name them.
No,
Name
I don't
them.
give a shit. I don't give a shit. It was like the first two were Patrick van Aanholt and Carl Vitt, and they couldn't fit the rest in the actual box. I don't know the other ones. But yes, Tony, great to have you on, Gord. Thank you very much, Dale. You've ruined it, and Ned, you're dead. Thank you all for jumping on. It is, I think, what, Liverpool on Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. We got, is it a Saturday? I think
We
so.
don't care about Europe anymore.
Exactly. Who cares? I'm
And the
assuming it's going to
mini
be
match is on the mini match is on the same time every day.
that
So,
100%. It's going to be Lerma and Hughes in midfield. So enjoy that battling. So.
cool.
With Brendan Johnson, maybe Brendan Johnson might have a shot on target. Who knows? That'll be a bit of fun. That'll be a bit of fun if we can see that. So, all that's left to say is thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed podding again. We will pod at some point in 2029 when a few seasons have gone by. Look forward to seeing how my team spank the rest of you guys. Go on, Joel Ward. I'm nervous already for next week and up the Palace.
Alice.
Bye.
We're on our way.